الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب لا يقال السلام على الله باب لا يقال السلام على الله The chapter with regards to the issue that one he will not say assalamu ala Allah he will not give salam to Allah he will not give salam to Allah and he's saying assalamu ala Allah again the author rahimahullah ta'ala he's continuing with the chapters that are related to having manners with regards to the terms The chapters that are related to having proper manners with regards to the terms and the words that one he will use. And from that is the issue of saying As-salamu ala Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is As-salam. Allah azza wa jal, he is As-salam. Wa minhu As-salam. Allah, he is the one that is As-salam. This is from the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salam. And he is the one who gives as-salam to whom he wills from his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is from the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the one who himself is salam, it's not said as-salam to him. He is the one who he himself is salam. And he is the one who provides and gives salam to whom he wills. And this beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is one of those names that... is related to all of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it has the meaning of as-salama. As-salama wal-khulus min al-naqais wal-uyub. As-salama, it means to have as-salama. As-salama is ism masdar, bima'na as-salama. Was-salama hiya al-najatu wal-khulusu min al-shururi wal-uyubi wal-naqais. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is as-salam, meaning that he is salimun min kulli naqsin wa'ib. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning that Allah azza wa jal, he is free from having any defect or deficiency. This is the meaning of as-salam. He is free from having any weakness or any deficiency or any defect in any aspect whatsoever. So therefore his life is perfect and his life has as-salama. From every deficiency, no weakness in his life and his existence and his essence whatsoever, no deficiency. He's free from that and safe from that. He's far from that. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. يعني تسلم حياته من السنة ومن النوم ومن التعب ومن اللغوب. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get sleepy. He doesn't wear out. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, his knowledge is safe. His knowledge is free from having any defect. He's not ever exposed to forgetfulness or to heedlessness or to not knowing something before knowing. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather his knowledge is perfect and complete. And likewise his wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his mercy and his kindness and that he gives out of his grace and out of his mercy and out of his bounty, not because he needs anything from the creation. He's free from needing anything in the creation. His life has a salama min kulli wajh, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, his deen is safe from any injustice, and his laws and his legislation and his rulings are safe from any injustice or from any lies or dishonesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is one of those names that is included or understood, and he is a description of all of the other names. All of his attributes, they are free from defects, and they're free from deficiency. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, he is as-salam. He is the one who has perfection in all of his names and all of his attributes. And he is the one who is free from all deficiencies from every aspect. So therefore, one, he will not say as-salam wa ala Allah, because he is as-salam. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Allah as-salam, he is the one who gives the salam, and he is the one who gives safety and security, and he's the one who gives peace, and he is the one who frees the people from deficiency and defects and from hardships and the likes like this. All of this comes from Allah. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would say at the end of the obligatory prayers, at the end of the obligatory prayers. So the salam or salama is sought from Allah, not for Allah. As-salama, having safety and security and having peace and being free from hardship and difficulty and being free from defects and shortcomings and faults, all of this is sought from Allah, not for Allah. All of this is sought from Allah. Allah, a person, he will ask this from Allah, not for Allah. Allah, he is already free of all of these affairs. Allah, he is the one who provides this. So he is the one who is called on, and no one will call for him. And he's the one who is supplicated to, not for. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa al-mad'u, laysa al-mad'u wa lahu. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. We understand that. Asking salam, giving salam, this is actually a supplication. So therefore Allah, he is the one that we supplicate to, not the one that we supplicate for. So in saying as-salamu ala Allah, this could be understood from that Allah, he is in need of his slaves to free him from deficiency, or to free him from any shortcomings and the likes like this, or that Allah is in need of his slaves to make dua for him and to supplicate for him. And all of this is incorrect. And all of this is incorrect. And from the wisdom of not saying as-salamu ala Allah, that one, he will not say as-salamu ala Allah. It'll be understood from that, and he's saying that Allah, he's exposed to evil, or he's exposed to deficiency, or that Allah, he's exposed to shortcomings. So therefore we say as-salamu ala Allah, and he's making dua that he will be safe from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's already safe from that and free from that. He does not need us to supplicate. Rather, he is the one who is supplicated to, not for. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even if a person said, well, he did not intend that, meaning again, this is the same issue. Regardless if a person intended that or not, this is not permissible, because this is what the meaning contains and necessitates. So if a person intended it, then the issue would be even more severe. So in order to avoid the likes of these affairs and to have noble manners and conduct with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the completion and the perfection of the faith and the tawheed, is that a believer, he will have the proper statements and terms, and he will check himself with his tongue, and he will use the good etiquettes and manners whenever he speaks about the affairs that have a relationship with creed and aqidah. So the author, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ كُنَّا إِذَا كُنَّا مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ قُلْنَا السلام على الله من عباده السلام على فلان فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقولوا السلام على الله فإن الله هو السلام. So the author, he mentioned in as-sahih, meaning here in Sahih Bukhari wa Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, that he said, before, whenever we used to be in the prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we would say As-salamu ala Allah min ibadihi, as-salamu ala fulan. We would say as-salam to Allah from his slaves. And then we would say as-salam on so-and-so and as-salam on so-and-so. Many of this narration has been narrated with regards to at-tashahud. And in some wordings, yani clarifying, is the at-tashahud al-akhir. Al-akhir, that before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them the proper tahiyyah, that they would say this: As-salamu ala Allah, as-salamu ala Jibra'il, as-salamu ala Mika'il, as-salamu ala fulan wa fulan. They would say it like this: As-salam for Allah, as-salam for Jibra'il, as-salam for Mika'il, as-salam for so-and-so and so-and-so. And they would name individuals by their names. They would name individuals they know, and he by their names, sending salam to them in this manner. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he found out about this, and he said, do not say as-salamu ala Allah. Do not give salam to Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ السَّلَامُ. And he clarified the wisdom behind that and the reason for that prohibition. And that is Allah, he is as-salam. So therefore, you don't give salam to salam. Rather, salam, he is the one. As-salam, he is the one who provides as-salam. And he gives the salam to whom he wills. So as-salam is sought from as-salam, subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salam is sought from him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. It's sought from him, not for him. It's sought from him, not for him. So the salam here, with regards to the tahiyyah, this is the issue that it occurred in, that they would give as-salam to individuals. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught them a wording that would be inclusive and would include all of those individuals and more whom they were giving salam to. And he first, the prohibition of giving the salam to Allah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that the salam should only be for one person specifically. And then the rest of mankind, the salam will be for those righteous from them. For those righteous from them. As-salamu alayka ayyuha nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadihi salihin. So here in this statement, now that Allah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam corrected their tahiyyah, by way of, there's only one individual who has a specific salam, is given salam to specifically, and that is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then everyone else, the salam is given to them by description. And they will be included in the description, every righteous and obedient slave. Wassalamu alayna wa ala ibadihi as-salihin. And may the salam be upon us and they're all of the righteous slaves of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this was the correction of that. This was the correction of that. So one, he will not give in the tahiyyah the salam to Allah first and foremost, because Allah, he is as-salam. And then likewise, he will not give salam to individuals, rather only to one individual, and that is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then those after that will be given based upon the description of righteousness. Based upon the description of righteousness. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited them from that which was incorrect, and then he taught them the proper way. And then he taught them the proper way. Also, as-salam, it has another meaning, and that is in the greetings. And that is in the greetings. As-salamu alaykum. The greetings of the believers. As-salamu alayka. In this manner. And this is a type of tahiyyah. And in the meaning, this meaning is inclusive. It has a number of aspects. From that is that whenever one he says as-salamu alayka, what he intends by that, uhayyika bis-salam, and I greet you with peace. That's the meaning. That's one of the meanings that is included there. I'm greeting you with peace. I'm greeting you with peace. And likewise, it has the meaning of alaykum barakatu ismillahi as-salam. As-salamu alaykum. Meaning I'm asking Allah to put His blessing on you and to bless you and to give you His blessing by mentioning His name, as-salam. We have seen that this is one of those blessed names that is inclusive. And it is an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is referring or is included in all of His names and attributes. They're all safe and they're all free from any defect, meaning any defect whatsoever. All of His names and attributes are free from that. And likewise His actions, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is blessed, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So therefore when you say as-salamu alaykum, is as if you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put His salam and peace and His blessing upon the individual. And likewise, it has another meaning as well. And this one is important. That is whenever one meets another believer and he says to them, as-salamu alaykum, كَأَنُّهُ يُخْبِرُهُ أَنُّهُ سَلَامٌ مِنْ شَرِّهِ أَنُّهُ سَيَسْلَامُ مِنْ شَرِّهِ. Whenever a person, he comes and he says, as-salamu alayka, then it's as if he's telling you that you don't have to worry from me. I'm not going to harm you. You have nothing but peace and safety and security coming from me. You have nothing but safe. You're free from any harm, any coming from my direction. As-salamu alaykum. And this meaning like this. And this is very important because sometimes some people, they'll come and they'll give salam to their brother and then they'll harm them. And he right there in their face by lying to them or lying about them or taking their knowledge and spreading it and carrying tales or by robbing them or cheating them or deceiving them. As-salamu alaykum. How much is this? And he'll lie to him and cheat to him. Oh, it's brand new. I paid this much for it. Like this and the likes like this. And he's not safe from him. But he gave him the salam. So whenever one he gives the salam, it's like he's telling his brother, "Don't worry, you don't have to worry from me. I'm bringing you nothing but peace. You will find from my avenue and from me nothing but safety and peace and nothing but goodness, and you're free from any harm or any deception coming from my avenue and my aspect. And this is from that meaning likewise. And this is from that meaning likewise. So this is a beautiful supplication. And the one who does not, من لم يبدأ بالسلام فلا تجيبوا. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, the one who comes to you, he doesn't begin with salam, then don't respond to him. If somebody came to you and said, let me see this, or let me have that, or can I have this, or can I have that, you don't even respond to him. You don't even respond to him. Or you remind him, you say, salamu alaikum, give salam, ya akhi, barakallah fiqh. So the first thing you do, you don't say, barakallah fiqh, or hayak Allah, and the like side is the first thing you say when you meet a believer, assalamu alaikum. And then after that, if you want to say some other beneficial words, alhamdulillah, or supplicate for him, but that which comes first is assalam. And this is an honor and respect to be from the people of this tahiyyah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is assalam, and he gives salam. Salam, salam, and qawlan min rabbin rahim. This is an indication that the people of Jannah, Allah, he give them salam. That Allah, he give them salam. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he gives salam to the mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave salam to Khadija radiyallahu anha. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So Allah, he gives salam to whom he wills from his slave. Salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. So Allah, he's the one who gives salam. And the home, and the hereafter, and the paradise, it is called Dar al-Salam. Dar al-Salam, because also the Jannah is safe and free from any foul or bad way, any deficiency. There's no deficiency, there's no filth, there's nothing bad, it's all good. It's all good in paradise, everything is good in Jannah. There's nothing that's bad or considered not nice or not good. There's no hardship, there's no harm, there's no lying, there's no cheating, there's no deception, there's no worry, there's no grief, there's no pain. There's nothing but pleasure and goodness. Dar as-salam, this home of paradise, is free. It's free from every foul and bad way. It's a place of perfection and beauty and peace and happiness. And it's the home of as-salam, the home of as-salam that he has created for his righteous and believing slaves. So likewise, the means to enter the home of as-salam, one, he must spread the salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لن تدخل الجنة لن تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولن تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا ألا أدلكم إلى شيء إذا فعلتموه تحببتم. And they said, بلى يا رسول الله. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أفشوا السلام بينكم. أفشوا السلام بينكم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, you'll never enter paradise until you believe. And you'll never believe until you love one another. And you'll, should I indicate or lead you to do something, lead you to something that if you do it, you'll love one another? And they said, of course, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said to them, then spread the salam amongst yourself. Spread the salam amongst yourself. So this is a beautiful way. And from the means of loving one another, and from the signs of the end of times, is that a person, he will only give salam to those people whom he knows. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned that is that one, he will yusallimu ala man ya'rifu wa ala man la ya'rif, and tusallimu ala man ta'rifu wa man la ta'rif, that you give salam to the one you know and that one you don't know. So long as the person has the slightest indication that he is a Muslim, whenever you see him, you give him salam. Whenever you see him, you give him salam. This is the case here. You wouldn't say, oh, I don't know him, so I'm not giving him salam. No, this is a foul way, an indication of arrogance and pride. And this is a sign of the end days. And this is contrary to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ordered. So anytime a person, he sees a Muslim, then they greet each other with salam. Then they greet each other with salam, even if he doesn't know them. Even if he doesn't know them. So this is the case, and this is the means to bring about love in the hearts of the believers, and also to remove yani the hard feelings or the distance that's between the hearts by giving salam, especially to those people you do not know. Especially to those people that you do not know, at least they know that they're safe from you, and they know that you're their Muslim brother, and the likes like this. So this is something yani to keep in mind. The point here is that we do not say assalamu ala Allah. We do not say assalamu ala Allah, and the reasons have preceded. So the author, he says, فيه مسائل, in this chapter there are issues. الأولى تفسير السلام. Tafsir as-salam, the interpretation of as-salam that has preceded, that it's a greetings. It's a greetings, and likewise it's a supplication. It's a greetings and a supplication, so therefore it's not suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not suitable to come from the slave for Allah. Rather, he would supplicate to Allah for the salam. He would not supplicate for Allah for salam, because Allah, he is as-salam. الثانية أنه التحية. The second one is that it is the greetings. Any greetings of salam, and a greetings of security and safety, and a greetings of peace, and a greetings of hoping good and well-being for the one that you greet. الثالثة أنها لا تسلح لله. The third benefit here is that it's not proper for Allah to give a salam to Allah. Rather, you ask a salam from Allah. الرابعة عللة في ذلك. لأن الله هو السلام. Because Allah, He is As-Salam. الخامسة تعليمهم التحية التي تسلح لله. The fifth issue here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them the proper greetings that is proper for Allah, the proper greetings that is correct. And so therefore a person, he will not reprimand the people or prohibit the people from wrong without teaching them that which is right. This is a benefit that we learn here. So a person, if he stops somebody or if he corrects somebody, along with that, and he in the correction, prohibiting them from that which is wrong, or prohibiting them from that which is not allowed, or prohibiting them from that which is bad, along with that prohibition, it's from wisdom and proper education and teaching and cultivation that he will also teach him the right way. He will also teach him the right way. For example, if a person were going to prohibit a child from playing a particular game, he would tell him that this game here is haram, and he would mention why. That it contains this and this and this. And then he can direct him to a game that's allowed. Then direct him to a game that's allowed. We can, if the child wants to purchase this one or that one, he can clear up this item or that item, this clothes or that clothes. We can tell him, and it's haram or not allowed. You tell him this one is haram and not allowed. And you tell him why, the reason, where's the prohibition with regards to this particular garment, the faces are on it, for example, or something like that, whatever the case may be, and then you direct them, these are all halal here, and you show them like that. Or if you stop somebody from praying wrong, or from making wudu wrong, we don't say, hey, that's wrong, and then leave them like that. You say, no, that's wrong, and then you show them the right way, and you show them the right way. So this is the case here. Many we learn from this way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he told them that what they were doing was incorrect, and then he directed them to the correct way, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this likewise is the way of a believer in cultivating himself and his family and dealing with his brothers and society. After this, the author, he says, babu qawli allahumma ighfir li in shi'ta. Now the author, he mentioned the chapter with regards to the statement of saying, O Allah, forgive me if you will. Forgive me if you will. And forgive me if you will, or if you want. Like this, this is the meaning. Ikhili and shitta. O Allah, if you want to, O Allah, if you will, forgive me. So again, this is from those statements that a believer, he will avoid. And he will not say them. And it's from the perfection and the completion of faith that whenever a person, he asks Allah for something like forgiveness, that he will say it with certainty, believing that Allah, he can hear him, and believing that Allah, he is aware of his situation, and believing that Allah is powerful in the ability to do all things and is generous and kind and will provide him for that which he asks for. Whether he's asking for forgiveness or for mercy or for wealth or for a wife or for a child or for knowledge or for benefit or for rectification, whatever he's asking for from this life and the hereafter, a believer, he must be certain that Allah hears him, and he must be certain that Allah will respond to him, and he must be certain and have no doubt that Allah is powerful and strong and has the ability to give him what he likes and what he asks for. So he will not have any hesitation in his supplication. He will not have any doubt or any taraddud going back and forth in the lives like this in his supplication. So rather, from the completion of the faith and the perfection of the tawheed, is to call on Allah with certainty, with certain faith and certain belief, with certain faith and certain belief. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Udu Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba." Call on Allah, supplicate to Allah while you have certainty that He will respond to you. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَجِيبُ دُعَاءً مِنْ قَلْبٍ غَافِلٍ لَهُ. And that you should know that Allah, He doesn't accept the supplication from a heart that is heedless and preoccupied. From a heart that is heedless and preoccupied. Somebody, maybe he'll say a beautiful dua that he memorized from the Quran, but his heart is not present. His heart is thinking about something else, or he's not focused on that affair. Or in the likes like this, he must gather his heart at the time of supplication and put his faith and trust and reliance upon Allah and call on Him with sincere hope and faith in Allah, and knowing that Allah, He will respond, and believing that Allah, He will respond. I just remember now, a brother, he told me a few weeks ago that his mother was sick in another country, and that the doctors had said she will not live. She's very old. And then the brother, he said, "No, Allah is going to cure my mother." And then he had certainty. He had certain faith. He said, no. He told the doctor, "No, we're going to make dua. We're going to call on Allah." The doctor said, "No, your mother is not going to make it." He said, "No, we're going to make dua." He said, "I went to all my family members and I told them, all of them, don't listen to them. Just make dua. Give charity. Give charity." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If you give charity, Allah will cure your sick." So they all started giving charity, and their brother, his hope was very high, and he had certainty Allah would cure. He said, "Wallahi, his mother is cured." His mother is cured. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So sometimes the doctors, they'll say one thing, and then the faith of a believer will prove them wrong. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So the point is, Yani, that you call on Allah with certainty and you have strong hope. And if Allah responds, then this is from His blessing and favor. And if He doesn't give you what you ask for, if you are sincere, then He still responds to you. And He provides for you and many other manners, subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in this life or in the hereafter, by removing harm from you or providing something better for you in place of that. Or giving you something better on the day of resurrection. Sometimes we may supplicate for something and we want that thing, but it's not good for us had we obtained it. Sometimes we will strive in supplication for something and we hope that we would have that, but in reality, maybe it's not good for us, and Allah knows best. And for this reason, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give us exactly what we ask for in that manner, based upon the wisdom that He has, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the point is here, you do not say, "Allahumma ighfir li in shi'ta." "Oh Allah, forgive me if you will, if you want to." Oh Allah, provide me this if you want to. Oh Allah, give me a wife if you want to, if you will, in shi'ta. Like this, we don't say like this. We don't say, "Oh Allah, provide me for a child like this, in shi'ta." Insha'Allah. La, you don't attach the supplication to the will of Allah. Brother, you call on Allah with certainty. So the author, he says, في الصحيح عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يقولن أحدكم اللهم اغفر لي إن شئت اللهم ارحمني إن شئت ليعزم المسألة فإن الله لا مكره له ولمسلم وليعظم الرغبة فإن الله لا يتعظمه شيء أعطاه. So the author, he mentioned in As-Sahih, again in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Muslim. From the Hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "One of you should not say, 'Oh Allah, forgive me if you will. Oh Allah, show me mercy if you will.'" And وَلِيَعْزِمَ الْمَسْأَلَةِ. And he should be certain. And he should be certain and have strong and high hopes with regards to his supplication. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Because indeed, Allah, He has no one to coerce Him. He has no one to coerce Him. And no one can force Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something that He did not want to do. Somebody may say, for example, to a person, he needs some money. "Can you loan me $100? Yani, if you like, or if you're able to. If you like, in shi'ta. If you like, if you're able to. Can you loan me $100? Meaning, if not, I'm not forcing you. I'm not forcing you like this. Or sometimes you'll maybe say, "If you like, will you do this or you do that? Or if you can, Is it possible like this? Because maybe they won't do it. Maybe they won't do it. Maybe they won't loan you. So you tell them, you know, I'm not forcing you, but if you can or if you will, loan me $100. As for Allah Azza wa Jalla, no one can force him to do anything. No one can force him to do anything. And likewise, sometimes maybe somebody, he will give something to somebody. He will give something to somebody, but he will do that and he doesn't want to. He will do that and he doesn't like to. He does that, yani karih. He dislikes to do that. Maybe somebody asked him for something and he doesn't want to give them anything, but he's afraid if he doesn't give them something, then they might harm him, or they might lie on him, or they might cheat him, or he wants something from them. And he doesn't want to give them, but he hopes that if he gives them, some other thing will happen or come out by way of that, and the likes like this. And so sometimes a person, he will give somebody something, he will help somebody, he will give them money, or he'll give them charity, or he'll do something for them, and he does not want to. But he does it for a reason, either because he's afraid, or either because he's scared, or because he needs something from them, and the likes like that, or is hoping for something from them, so he'll do it anyways. He doesn't want to take them to this place, he doesn't want to do this, he doesn't want to do that, whatever the case may be, but he'll do it anyways. And he, like, he's coerced or almost forced to, afraid that if he didn't do it, then this may happen or that may happen, and the likes like this. As for Allah Azza wa Jal, no one can force him, and he does not do anything he does not like. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he decrees and whatever he wills, it occurs in a manner pleasing to him, and that which he likes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever he decrees something, it occurs. Whenever he decrees something, it occurs. So then a person, he will not say that. Also, it will not be considered too big. For example, sometimes maybe if somebody said to you, brother, can I borrow $100? Maybe you think about it. But if he said to you, brother, can I borrow $100,000? That's a major request. That's way different than somebody came to you and said, can I borrow $100? That's adi, normal, yani in society. Can I borrow $100? But if somebody said, can I borrow $100,000? You're like, whoa. And you will find this to be something major. The one asking and the one being asked. But whoa, that's a lot of money. So then the one who's asking, you're asking him for a lot of money. So he's going to be like, whoa, $100, maybe I can give you, but $100,000. Even if he had $100,000, he would think, whoa, that's a lot of money to ask for. As for with Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing is big. Nothing is too big for him to give. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing is too big for him to give. And it's not considered too much, yani, to ask for from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He has the keys to the heavens and the earth. And yani, the treasures of the heavens and the earth, of the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he has the dominion in his hand. So nothing is considered too big with Allah. That you ask for, that you ask him in this manner like this. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَتَعَظَمُهُ شَيْءٌ لَا يَتَعَظَمُهُ شَيْءٌ أَعْطَاهُ. So this is also from the meanings that's there. Also, if a person, he said, oh Allah, forgive me if you want to. Forgive me if you will. Freely in shitta. It's like a person, he's not even really in need. It's like he's not even really in need, like he can do without it. If somebody said, you know what, if you can, loan me $100. If not, you know, it's all good, I don't need it. Huh? That might not be the words that are said, but sometimes this is what is understood. You know, you loan me $100. If you got it, you can loan me $100 if it's okay. Like that. And it meaning, like, if you don't do it, I'm not forcing you. Also, if you don't do it, I'll be all right. It's all good. Like, but you don't come to Allah, oh Allah, forgive me if you want. And if you don't want to, I'm all good. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. That meaning is there. That meaning is, oh Allah, give me this if you want, and shitta. And shitta, provide me with a righteous wife. And shitta, provide me with a righteous son. And shitta, enter me into paradise. A'udhu billah. And then if not, you know, it's like it has that meaning there. So this is also from the aspect. So all of those terms that have lawazim ba'thida or fasida that could be understood, that would lead to having a bad understanding, even if the person didn't intend that, to avoid these affairs. To avoid these affairs, having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To having good manners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it has that meaning, like, you know, he doesn't need it. Or the person is back and forth. He's not certain. He's hesitant. He's hesitant about that. He's hesitant about that. There are some exceptions that people of knowledge, they mention, and that is if a person is asking for some good of this life, that in general it's good, But he doesn't know if it's specifically good for him. If it's specifically good for him. For example, a specific woman. He wants to get married to a specific woman. And he thinks in his mind, what he has, or his research, it seems to be good. But he's not sure if it's good or not. So then he could say in this circumstance, "Oh Allah, facilitate for me to marry so-and-so, the daughter of so-and-so, if you will. If you will." Meaning if it's good for me. This particular woman, if you will. And now you can mention the mashia of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You can make the ta'liq. Because a person, he may want to marry this woman, but it might not be good for him. And from that is the meaning of al-istikhara. Likewise, dua al-istikhara. That if it's good for me, then facilitate for me, make it easy for me, and bring it close to me. And if it's not good for me, then take it away from me and distance me from that and distance that from me. We understand the istikhara, so this has the same meaning. So if it's something from the good of this life, that's in general is good, but a person, he's not certain is it good for him. One, he can say, "Now, oh Allah, provide this thing for me, if you will." Meaning if it's good for me, provide it for me. Likewise, the supplication of the Prophet, "Allahumma ihyini ma 'alimta al-hayata khayran li wa tawaffani idha 'alimta al-wafata khayran li." Oh Allah, cause me to live so long as you know that living is good for me, and cause me to die if you know that my death is good for me. Yeah, I need to put this issue here because a believer, he doesn't know, is living good for him or is death good for him? So to put that to the Mashiach of Allah, and now to entrust that to Allah, this is allowed. So likewise, if a person, he wanted to do this thing in the worldly life that appears to be good, but he's not certain if it's good for him. We understand that aspect, like getting married or getting a job. "Oh Allah, help me get this job, inshallah, or inshita, if you will." Meaning if you know that it's good for me, give me the job. If it's not good for me, then turn me away from that. So this is also the meaning in istikhara. So that was an exception to that issue. So the author, he says, "Fihi masail al-ula an-nahyu an al-istithna'i fi al-du'a." The first issue here is the prohibition of making an exception in supplication. What is intended by istithna here is to say, inshallah. Inshallah. You don't say this whenever you make du'a. You don't say this about yourself or not for your brother. Barakallah fiqh, inshallah. Some people, they say that on accident because they're used to saying inshallah, but you don't say that. Rahimakallah, inshallah. May Allah give you a righteous wife, inshallah. La, you just say, may Allah give you a righteous life, a righteous wife. May Allah have mercy on you. May Allah bless you. You don't say, ghafarallahu lak, inshallah. May Allah forgive you. Inshallah, you don't say inshallah here. Inshallah means if Allah wills. So here you have high hopes and strong faith in Allah, that Allah will forgive him, that Allah have mercy on him, that Allah will provide him. So here you say, ghafarallahu lak, rahimakallah, Allah yuhamuk. Like this, you make the dua straight. Oh Allah, have mercy on you. May Allah forgive you. Like this, you make the dua straight. May Allah bless you. You don't couple it with the Mashiach, inshallah. You understand that? This is also from those manners. This is what is intended here. You don't say inshallah whenever you make dua. Not for yourself or not for anybody else. Not for yourself and not for anybody else. Rather, you just make dua for them with certain faith and strong hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. الثانيه بيان العله في ذلك. The second issue here is the clarification of the reason why. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا مُكْرِهَ لَهُ. Because there's Allah, he has no one to coerce him or to force him. No one can make him do something he did not want to do or did not like to do, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we do not say that. And likewise, nothing is too major or too great with Allah Azza wa Jalla that he will not respond because of how great it is, because of how major it is. And likewise, the other reasons that we had mentioned, likewise, that it has the meaning of that a person, he's not in need of the thing he's asking for, or that he can do without it, or that he's not certain, he's hesitant whether he wants it or needs it or not, and the likes like this. So all of these meanings here are from the reasons why it's impermissible. الثالثة قوله ليعزم المسألة. ليعزم المسألة. And the third issue, is the statement, and that he should emphasize his supplication and be certain with that. Al-azm is al-ta'kid. تأكيد على الشيء, that he would emphasize that, and he would be certain with regards to that. He would ask in this manner. الرابعة يا عظام الرغبة, يا عظام الرغبة. The fourth one is that a person, he would have strong hope. He would have strong hope, make his hope and desire for the thing he's asking for and for Allah to respond to him. He'll make it strong in his heart, meaning he will persist in supplicating. He will call on Allah over and over, and he will break down before him while he's asking and beg him time after time, over and over, begging Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is what it means, ya azam ar-ragba, that you ask him for everything. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask him for everything, and you have certainty when you're asking him, and you beg him time in and time out, and you do not give up. You do not say, قَدْ دَعُوتُ, I made dua. Somebody, I made dua. He would say, well, I made dua. And he still didn't have it.
I'ragba is upside that.
Yes, huh?
I'ragba is upside of that.
Opposite of that, yes, the opposite of that. Yeah, to not give up. Yes, to make your hope strong and great. Very strong. Very, very strong. To never give up hope, to never give up faith. And to persist and to consist. Al-ilha, it means to be persistent, to be consistent, to time in over and over and over and over, to never stop. Al-khamisa. التعليل لهذا الأمر. الخامسة التعليل لهذا الأمر. The fifth issue here is the reason, the mention of the reason for this affair. The reason for this affair. And why he will not do that. Why he will not do that. After this, the author, he says, بَابُ لَا يَقُولُ عَبْدِي وَأَمَتِي. The chapter with regards to that one, he will not say, my slave, my male slave or my female slave. And if a person, he actually owned an individual. And in the time of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also after that, in the time of the Islamic conquest, there are slaves. There were slaves. So a person, he would be a slave, meaning he would be owned by someone else. So if that was the case, it would not said to him, my slave, my abdi wa amati. Abdis means a slave. Wa ama is a slave, a female slave. So a person, he would not say it like this. He would not say it like this. So the author, he says, وَفِي الصَّحِيحِ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ لا تقول أحدكم أطعم ربك وضع ربك وليقول سيدي ومولاي ولا يقول أحدكم عبدي وعمتي وليقول فتايا وفتاتي وغلامي. So also in الصحيح, again in صحيح البخاري and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah رضي الله عنه, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that one of you should not say feed your lord, or give the wudu for your ward, for your lord, for your lord, and rather he should say, for my master, Sayyidi wa Mulaya, both of them, yani my master, like this. And one of you should not say, my slave, my male slave or my female slave, Abdi, my male slave or my female slave, Abdi, or Amati, wa Amati. And he should say, Fataya, wa Fatati, wa Gulami, my boy, and the likes like this, my boy, my girl, my young boy, like this. These words will be used instead of Abdi. Because all of the slaves, they are Abidun Lillahi Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So it has a meaning, it has a bad meaning, like the person he's sharing with the Rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, He is the Lord, and we are all slaves to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We are all slaves to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So for someone to say, and he feed your Lord, and but he's meaning his master, and he says that to his slave, somebody he has a slave, and he tells his slave to feed your owner, and he like this, bring the food, but he says it in the Arabic language like this, al-tam rabbak, like this. It has a bad meaning. It has a bad meaning. Allah, He is the Rabb. Allah, He is the Rabb. So it has the share, the meaning, and the words are being shared here. So this must be avoided. This must be avoided here, so that meaning is not present. give the wudu for your Lord. Isqi rabbak. Yani, give your Lord some drink. Go get some drink for your Lord. Yani, the Rabb, he's the master. Naam, Rabbud Dar, the owner of the house. What is meant here? Malik. Malik. Isqi malikak. Like this. Now, this is what is intended. But because the words, they have this bad meaning, they're not allowed. They're not allowed. So instead of that, one will use another word, Sayyid, Sayyidi, or Mulaya. And instead of calling them my slave, Abdi wa Amati, we'll call them Fataya, wa Fatati wa Gulami. Like this. All of this again, observing these terms and avoiding having these bad meanings with regards to the creed and the terms that one uses. With regards to the creed and the terms that one uses. So slavery in Islam is not something like what is understood today, that people are taken unlawfully. There's only one way. There's only one way to fall into slavery. And there are many ways that are encouraged to get out of it. There's only one way for a person to become a slave, and there are many ways for a person to be removed from slavery. So in Islam, the only way a person can become a slave is if the Muslims, under the Muslim ruler and the Muslim army, not what we see today, individuals saying he's a Muslim Khalifa, and then they're going around causing chaos and shedding blood unlawfully and saying jihad, and then saying these are my slaves, and the lies say, oh, this is false. So people doing this ignorance and this foolishness. But whenever there's a Muslim army and there's a Muslim ruler, and they go to war with the enemies of Al-Islam, those enemies refuse to accept Islam, and or refuse to accept the jizya. And if they're from the people of the book, if they fight and the Muslims, they conquer their lands, then their women and children will become slaves. Then their women and children will become slaves for the Muslims. And this is from the bounties of war. And then it's encouraged for them to set them free. But even then, as slaves, the legislation requires that they be treated in the most noble and the best manner. And this happened in the conquest of Islam in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, whenever Islam conquered Iraq and Iran and conquered all the way to Al-Maghrib. Many of those people who their lands were conquered and they became slaves, they became from the best of the tabi'een. They became from the best of the tabi'een. So therefore, it was a mercy for them. It was a mercy for them. Muhammad ibn Sirin, from the greatest of the scholars of hadith of the tabi'een, his father Sirin, he was in Iraq. And he was in a church reading the Injil. And then the Islamic army, they came there and they overpowered that army and they conquered that land and they established the Islamic rule. And then Sirin, he became a slave. And then he accepted Islam and slavery. And then he set free. And then he named his child Muhammad and Anas and Hafsa. And all names of the companions, names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the slavery for him was a mercy and a blessing. And then from his children, Muhammad, he's from the greatest of scholars of hadith. The very first of the narrators of hadith to criticize the other narrators and to tell them, where you get that narration from? Who you heard that from? That's not true. He's lying. He's lying on the Prophet. He was from the first to establish this issue here. Him and Ash'abi, rahimahumullah. So the point is, he was a slave. Atta, he was a slave. Hassan al-Basri, he was a slave. These people were slaves, but then from slavery, they were raised to be the best of mankind. The best of mankind. One time, Umar, he met Nafi' ibn Abd al-Harith in Usfan. And he had left Nafi' in charge of Mecca. Umar radiallahu anhu, he met Nafi' in charge of Mecca. And then there's a place between Medina and Mecca called Usfan. Umar was there, and then Nafi', he showed up there. He said, who did you leave in charge of Mecca? He said, Ibn Abza. He said, well, ma ibn Abza? Who was Ibn Abza? He said, Mawla min Mawalina. He said, he's a freed slave from our slaves. He said, you left a freed slave in charge of Mecca? And he said, Amir al-Mu'mineen, verily, he is Hafidun al-Kitabillah. He is Hafidun bi-Kitabillah. عَالِمٌ بِالْفِرَاءِ الْقَاضٍ. He's a memorizer of the book of Allah, and he is knowledgeable of the Islamic laws and rights, and he's a judge. And he's a judge. And Umar, he says, أَمَّا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي قَالَ نَبِيُّكُمْ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ آخَرِينَ. That verily I swear by Allah, your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that indeed Allah, he will raise people by way of this book and lower others. So this is the point here. The point is, in Islam, slavery is legislated, and there's wisdom behind that, and it's a beautiful manner. Anyone ever is performed properly, and it's not like a person who just go snap somebody off the streets or go to this country and these people have a different color, okay, they're slaves, or these people, that. It's in this manner. Those people who refuse to bow to surrender and to submit to the Islamic law at the hands of the Islamic ruler, then they will be captured, and they will be put in slavery, and then they will be taught and they will be encouraged to accept Islam, and then also it's encouraged to free them. Shanqiti rahimahullah, in his tafsir, he mentioned the issue of ariq, and he spoke about it in much detail and mentioned many great benefits and wisdoms behind the legislation of that. Fihi masail al-ula anahyu an qawli abdi wa amati. In this chapter, there are issues. The first one is the prohibition of saying my slave, my male or my female slave. الثانية لا يقول العبد ربي أو يقال له أطعم ربك. The second one is a person, he will not say my Lord to a person. يعني my Lord. And he will not say likewise feed your Lord. يعني speaking about يعني himself. الثالثة تعليم الأول قول فتايا وفتاتي وغلامي. الرابعة تعليم الثاني قول سيدي ومولاي. So the third and the fourth one is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught words that will be in place of that. Instead of saying my slave, he would say fataya wa fatati wa gulami. Instead of saying my lord, he would say sayyidi wa mulaya. Al-khamisa tanbihu lil-murad wa tahqiqu tawhid hatta fil alfaz. And the fifth issue here is to draw attention to the intent from that. And that is to actualize the rights of al-tawheed and to fulfill them even in the terms. Meaning that a person, he will be far away from shirk and from any foul and lowly meanings in the creed. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will be revered and honored and respected. And every aspect that has a foul meaning from the terms and the statement should be avoided. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.